We live in a day of global communication. Something can occur on the other side of the world and we're going to hear about it instantly. Not just tomorrow, not just in a couple hours. We can hear about it and know exactly what's going on right now. But with all of our modern technology, we still often misunderstand what is said. I've said before here at the church, if something can be misunderstood, it will be misunderstood. It's amazing sometimes I try to, in my teaching or preaching, say something very clearly and think I've made my point, and then I'll have somebody come back later and say, well, you said this. No, that's not what I said. It is so easy to misunderstand what's being said. We think we know what the person's saying. In reality, we don't. Because communication is more than speaking and hearing. Communication is a process. It is a process of sharing a message with another person in such a way that he or she understands what you're saying. Understanding is essential for communication. And as we think about marriages, communication is crucial for right relationships, and that's nowhere more obvious than in marriage. A happy marriage is one in which good communication takes place. Let's think about that this morning. First of all, let us note the importance of good communication in marriage. Well, first of all, good communication is important if you're going to overcome marital problems. Every marriage is going to have friction. Every marriage is going to have some problems that arise, some minor, some major. And the inability to communicate is one of the most common marital complaints from both sides that psychologists and marital therapists hear about today. He doesn't understand me. She doesn't know what I'm saying. There's no communication. It's interesting, that's not an American problem alone. Studies in 11 countries have shown that the happiest couples are those who talk the most to each other and understand what's going on. So it's important that you communicate if you're going to overcome marital problems. Men, good communication is important if you as a husband are going to meet your wife's needs. You have to listen. You have to communicate. And here's the problem. Men and women aren't the same. Isn't that wonderful? But when it comes to communication, it causes difficulties because we don't communicate the same. Men tend to communicate like a telegram. Short. To the point. Let's just get the facts out there. If you're paying for it by word, we'll keep it very brief. Women tend to view communication as a meal to be savored. So while he wants to just boop, 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 she says, no, 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 talk to me. Let's, I've already made my point. Or she's trying to say something, and what do? We say, oh, I've already got it halfway through, and we interrupt and say, well, I know what you're saying. No, you don't. I'm not done yet. That's when we get ourselves in trouble. I know that. We think we've listened. They're not through. We think they've finished. They're not through. One of a wife's primary needs in marriage is for her husband to talk to her. Men have certain needs in marriage. Women have certain needs in marriage. They're not the same. And one of the major needs of a woman is for you men to talk. I remember back when we were first married and we had little ones. Renee was home with the girls. At that time, it was Christina and Esther. I was working all day. I had people around me all day long talking to me, and I had customers coming in. I worked at the grocery store, and everybody coming in. I'd go home. What did I want to do? I wanted to find a place of quiet. I get through the door, and I said, basically, I get in. She says, talk to me. I've been with the girls all day long. I want somebody, an adult, to talk to me. If we're going to meet men the needs, we need to talk, communication. Good communication is important if you're going to learn about each other. When we're dating, we want to listen all the time because we want to talk. Why? Because we want to learn everything we can about them. We get married, we think we know everything. We don't. And if we're really going to know that person we love and we've committed ourselves to for a lifetime, we need to communicate. We need to talk. That's why good communication is important. Well, what are some killers of good communication? What nips good communication in the bud? Well, the first thing, these are not brilliant. These are just common sense. First of all, good communication is killed by a refusal to listen. That makes sense, doesn't it? Well, Pastor, that's brilliant. Well, yeah, but we have to think about it. Good communication is killed by a refusal to listen. What did we say this morning in our scripture reading? James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. One old sage put it like this: we should listen twice as much as we speak, because God gave us two ears and only one tongue. If we don't listen, there's not going to be communication. And here's the problem. Too often, we mistake hearing for listening. Hearing is basically to gain content or information for your own purpose. Listening is caring for the person who's talking. How often have you said to your children, "Did you hear me?" What? Okay, I want you to get this information. Did you hear me? Now, did you actually listen? Did you care about what I said? We need to listen. And here's another difficulty. The complete message is a person is communicating is more than the words they're saying. Nonverbal communication, experts say, is 55% of the message. Tone of voice is 38%. Actual words are only 7% of the message. We can say something in a different tone, and it means two different things. Well, that was smart. Well, are you saying that was smart, or are you saying that was a stupid thing to have said? The tone says it. The facial expressions say it. The rolling of the eyes say it. The look says it. It's more than the words. It's body language. It's tone. And attention to what your spouse is saying is a measure of your respect. If you're not really listening and paying attention, you're not showing respect. And too often, especially, I find myself, and don't even mean to do it, and I think men do this, too often we interrupt. Men, we want to solve problems. Okay, here's what you need to do. They don't even want you to tell them what they need to do. They just want to have you listen to them to air the problem. Maybe they'd like a suggestion, but they're really maybe not even wanting a solution. They just want you to listen. We interrupt before they're done. The wise writer of Proverbs said in chapter 10, verse 19, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." There's an American proverb that you may not hear that often, kind of goes along with it. It's better to be silent and let people think you're foolish than to open your lips and take care of all question about it. So don't speak as much. Both sides, listen. Sometimes, and I find this at work with my coworkers, sometimes it's me or sometimes it's them. We just want somebody we can talk to and air the problem, just to get it off our chest. And we just need to listen and not interrupt. And so good communication is killed by a refusal to listen. Well, on the other side, good communication is killed by a refusal to talk. Proverbs 20, verse 5, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Draw out the counsel. Draw out the conversation. And again, it can go both ways, but usually it's the wife says to somebody else, he just won't talk to me. They need us to talk. Both sides need to talk. It takes both parties to communicate. And never, never use silence to frustrate the other person or as a weapon. Well, I'll show them. I just won't talk. No. Remember, think details. Share feelings. You're talking. Be more detailed. Not only, well, what do you think about, how do you feel about it? Both must beware of expecting their mate to know what they're thinking. You know, what's the old saying? I don't have ESP. You gotta tell me. You might think I should know, but I don't. So, listen, but speak. Let the other person know what you enjoy, what you don't like. Let them know what you'd like to do, what you don't want to do, what your goals are, what you think, what you feel. Thirdly, helpers. Helpers are good communication. What will help good communication in a marriage? Well, first of all, good communication is helped by being positive and encouraging. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Now, obviously, that is vulgarity. That's swearing. That's coarseness. But also what tears down. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Edification is a big word, but if you think of an edifice as a building, edification is building up. So don't speak that's going to tear down, but speak what's going to build up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. It helps communication when you are talking to keep it on a positive note. Now, for example, too often we say something and we say it wrong. I'll pick on the wives for a while. Maybe a wife says, you know, you never take me out to eat anymore. That's very negative, isn't it? On the other hand, what if you said, I always enjoyed those wonderful times when we ate out. Oh, well, that's positive. Well, maybe we should have some more wonderful times eating out. You get the same message across in two totally different ways. One's positive, one's negative. Here's an interesting thing. We tend as humans to remember the negative. And we tend to remember the negative about ourselves. It amazes me at times, sometimes when my mind goes back to things when I was a kid or growing up or as a young adult, and I think, why am I thinking about the negative things, the bad? Well, I mean, there was a lot of good things. Why do I remember the bad things? But that's part of human nature. We tend to remember the negative, and especially about ourselves. So when we're speaking to somebody about things, communication, it's said to keep a good, healthy 90% praise to 10% criticism. In other words, say 9 things of praise to 1 thing that's criticizing. Because you know what's going to happen. We're going to remember the 1 thing you say, but it's good to have the 9 things that's positive. Remember to put, again, the emphasis on the positive. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, Man, he keeps keep on going, all these good things. If there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think of the good things. Maybe a little assignment. Sit down sometime and write down all the good things you like about your spouse. Then shock them and share it with them. Focus on the good. Be encouraging. Focus, you know, you're going to have to say something negative. You're going to have to work on a problem. Fine. But try to think of so many positive things you can do to put into the conversation as well. Not just the negative. You ever feel, man, I just can't do anything right? I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. And what does the person tell me about? They tell me about the thing I did wrong. We especially do that with bosses, don't we? Tell me, and that's the same. And this works on the job as well as at home. School as well as at home. Work on, tell about the good things. Not only the bad things. Secondly, good communication is helped by being time conscious. The Word of God gives us excellent instructions concerning the timing of our words. Again, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. It's like having apples of gold in a bowl made out of silver. How beautiful. But it's when it's fittingly said. When it's in the right timing. Our communication is greatly helped if we say the right words at the right time. One spouse or the other gets home from work. They're exhausted. They walk through the door. That's not the time to tell them about every negative thing you have that you are irritated about. The wife has done this at home, and she's made this meal, and she's worked on that, and she's done all these things. And then we want to tell her about the one thing she didn't do. There are times to bring things up. And there's times to be quiet and put it off to the future. And it is appropriate sometimes when somebody says something, you know, we have something we need to talk about, to say, now's not the right time or the right place. Put it off. Now, that doesn't mean you never deal with it. You do deal with it. But you deal with it in the right time and at the right place. And here's, you know, an interesting thing. Sometimes when it gets around to the timing, it's already been dealt with. It wasn't as big as we thought it was. Just be careful with the timing. Thirdly, good communication is helped by being interested in each other's favorite topics of conversation. This requires us to know what the other person's interested in. One of the wisest things we can do as a spouse is know what the other person likes and know something about it. Now, we know we each have our specialized fields. When we were back in college, my wife is an LM major. She has her degree in elementary education. She and her friends would get together, and she'll do this with the girls now, especially Esther. They would talk over educational stuff. But her and her friends would get together, and I'd be there like, okay, girls, go ahead and talk. I have no idea what you're talking about after you got to a certain stage. On the other hand, I'd get together with some of my friends, and we begin to do what we call talking theologue. We talk theology. My wife would go, oh boy. You know, she loves the Bible, but we would be talking about things that are the theologians would talk about. Well, you know, such and such person wrote this and said that. It's good to know some things, but we all each know we have our specialized fields. We understand that. But it's good to know certain things that they really enjoy. Maybe we're not all that interested, but we know something about it so we can talk it over. And that's one of the wonderful things about being friends, when we both have things we both enjoy doing together, so we can talk those things over together too. Now, doing this is going to require time. It's going to require effort. But it shows interest and it shows our love to learn what they're interested in. Fourthly, good communication is helped by being honest. Now, not cruel and not mean, but honest. God is quite clear that we are to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. That doesn't mean if your wife says, honey, does this dress look nice on me? You go, no, that makes you look fat. No, that's not a smart thing to say. It might be nice to say, you know, honey, that one just doesn't quite flatter you right. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. We never are to lie to our spouse. They should never wonder, is he or she telling me the truth? We need to be honest. Good communication is helped by honesty. It is killed by dishonesty. Good communication is helped by being open. Open. It has been said that there are 5 levels of communication. First of all, the cliche level. Just cliches. Everybody says it. You know, how's the weather? Just little things. Fact level. I'm a reporter. How was your day? This. I'll give you the facts, ma'am. I just want the facts. Opinion level. Well, what do you think? Now you're getting deeper. What's your opinion on this? Next stage, feeling level. How do you feel about this? Not just what you think about it, but how does that really impact you and make you feel? And then lastly, transparency. The transparency level. Being totally open. That's the thing about marriage. We get to the point where we are one. We are totally open. We're totally honest. We are transparent. In marriage, we need to be open and vulnerable. Now, a vulnerability that allows you to share feelings, inner thoughts, deep hurts, and great joys is essential to a healthy climate of intimacy and closeness. Learn to say how you feel in conversation as well as what you think. And be interested in how they feel. Good communication is also helped by being trustworthy. Here's something we often overlook. Trustworthy. The book of Proverbs says in chapter 11, verse 13, a talebearer, we would say a gossip, reveals secrets. But he that is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Unless it is a very close, intimate friend which you're dealing with or a counselor, there's certain things you just don't share with one another. Our parents would have said, you don't put your dirty laundry out in front of the neighbors. We don't need to tell everybody everything. If somebody in a relationship, if he or she has shared something with us, they don't want to hear it down the road from their friend because their friend's wife told them about it. Well, how did you know that? Well, my wife told me. How'd she know it? Well, your wife told her. Or vice versa with the men. We are not to be sharing those things. Those are confidential. And therefore, we need to be trustworthy. And good communication, lastly, is helped by being responsive. Respond. Again, talk, listen, respond. It's like playing a game of catch. It's kind of hard to play a game of catch by yourself. It just doesn't quite work as well, does it? And so, we teach our children, how do you converse with one another? When you say something to someone else, they say something back. When they say something to you, you say something back. It's like playing catch. And we need to remember that for marriage. We play catch. Lastly, guidelines for good communication. What are just some good guidelines as we conclude? Well, first of all, it's essential you spend time together. You don't spend time together, you're not going to communicate. And that's one of the problems with marriages. We begin to take each other for granted. And we don't communicate because we don't spend time together. We need to spend time together. Second, work on becoming a good listener. And never interrupt. That's a lifetime job for some of us to learn that lesson. But never interrupt. Be a good listener. Never interrupt. Third, Plan a suitable time to discuss important matters. Like I said, there's sometimes just not good times. Say, oh, well, let's plan on a good time to talk these things over. This is going on with our kids. This isn't the time to talk about it. Well, let's get together tonight, or let's get together this weekend, or whatever the problem is. Let's talk it over then and plan on a good time. So, spend time together, be a good listener, never interrupt, discuss important matters at a suitable time. Fourth, try to be encouraging. You got something, I just really need to talk it over with her or him. It's not going to be easy, but okay, plan the best way to say it. Try to be encouraging while you're saying it also. Always be honest and open. Don't lie. Don't try to get tricksy. Don't try to manipulate. You know those people that manipulate. They start on something and then they go around here, here, and here, and then they work their way back over here to get it in again. And they're manipulating you. Don't manipulate in marriage. Try to be honest and open. Never, ever, ever break a confidence. And I think this one sums up a lot. Speak in love. Speak in love. If the person knows you love them and what you're saying is for their benefit, it goes a long way. The book of Proverbs says it's better the wounds of a friend than the sly, nice compliments of an enemy. And sometimes there's truth we need to hear, we just don't want to hear it. But when it's spoken in love and we realize that, and it's spoken at the right time, and it's spoken in an encouraging way, etc., 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 but it's spoken in love, it may hurt, but it's better in the long run. Let's work on making our marriages ones in which good communication take place. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, dear Lord, for what you tell us about the tongue. And Lord, help our marriages and our families to be stronger, and help us, dear Lord, to become masters at communication. To your glory, to your honor and praise, we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and close with one more song, shall we? Trust.